College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Huge weekend at City, the bobblehead, David Wright Day, the fireworks, a lot of traffic, concert at MetLife Stadium. How many concerts do we have at MetLife Stadium?
MetLife Stadium, Zach Bryan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, big night. What do you mean, how many concerts? It's a good venue to see a concert.
No, I know, but
better
venue
for a concert than it is a football game.
I would probably agree with that only because I've never seen a concert. Oh, no, have I seen a concert in my life? Perhaps I have, yeah. But I've seen football games there, and it's as bad as it gets, so it's hard
Sean. I don't. It's not the day
you
want to.
You
want to
defend. You want to die on a hill. That's okay. You want to show.
I don't
for
love
MetLife
Stadium, but I think we've also gone too far the other way. Like MetLife Stadium's ugly, but MetLife Stadium has fine sight lines. You know, clean concourse. Again, not my favorite
big
stadium.
Dump.
Ugly. It looks like a spaceship that landed.
It's
in
ugly,
the,
but it's not a dump.
Dump.
It's
in the
not
middle
a dump,
of a
Tom.
Swamp.
Not a dump. All right. Topic du jour. I've said that a lot the last 2 weeks in forever. I don't know why I keep going to de jour.
De jour, you're in the...
I'm going to have...
It's a food reference.
I'm going to have a lot of self-reflecting after quarterbacking the show for 2 weeks and moving from the third spot to the first spot. And I think one
Whoa,
of my...
Whoa, what did you say?
Third spot to the first
well,
spot.
Well, I don't... What do you mean? What are you implying? I'm the fourth spot? I'm the last person? I'm the runt of the litter? I don't apply... I basically,
Don't apply anything.
Well, I just don't understand how you anointed yourself the third person here. There's Evan and Tiki, Tommy. So that's clear that they're one and two. But this idea that you're third, which would then say that I am fourth, you know, I'm positive Tommy, I'm a generational talent, I'm the future of the station. This idea that I'm fourth, that I'm somehow just, you know, whatever here. A notch above what Rosie and Connor, which is...
Loogie is the future of the station.
Tommy, just settle down.
I'm going to have to do some self-reflecting.
It's Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. David Wright's number five being retired. Nobody will ever wear number five in the history of the Mets unless they're a first-round pick and they ask the owner to take it down, in which case you never know these days. But anyway, it got me thinking. Forget we know Joe DiMaggio, right? Our lifetimes. Tommy is a 40-year-old man limping every week now.
The body's starting to hurt more and more.
I'm 38, so we're living in that realm. Who are the best number fives to play in New York in our lifetimes?
Okay, now, this is where the audience really needs to be locked in on this. I'm not the biggest numbers guy.
Okay.
So if Sean forgets one here like he did with CeCe Sabathia yesterday and not realizing his number is not, in fact, retired, we're going to need the audience to lean on this and tell me if Sean misses a glaring one.
All right, and Evan's really bad with this, so I'm whooping this out now. So
yep.
Okay, and again, keyword in our lifetime around the guys that are on the show. So we're talking about 40 or younger, all right?
Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Garrett Wilson, who now is number five, started as number 17, second best receiver currently in New York, and I think is going to be an all-time Jet now that we know he's locked up.
Okay, I got to hear the other names before I comment on that, so let's get to four.
Okay, here we go.
Number four.
Kerry Collins, maybe one of the most underrated, I think, players in Giants history, quarterback the Giants, the 2000 Giants to a Super Bowl, another playoff appearance as well. And I think very undervalued in this town, but Kerry Collins for me at number
four. Yeah, if you quarterback a Super Bowl team, you're definitely worthy of being on this list, no doubt.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
The number we will see retired tomorrow, David Wright. For me, obviously did everything the right way, for lack of a better term. Really sucks that injuries hindered what could have been maybe a career that got him to number one on this list. Not winning the World Series hurt too, but he is number three for me. He's obviously an iconic Met forever.
All right, again, I'm bad with numbers, so let's hear the first two before I comment on
that. All right, here we go.
Number two.
Dan Girardi, New York Rangers. Another guy a lot like David Wright.
Dan Girardi?
Look, if you don't put Dan Girardi here, I think you're more of an anti-hockey guy. I think he's a lot closer to David Wright than people give him credit for. Will he get his number retired? Will the Rangers have more of a richer legacy with retired numbers?
No, he's not getting his number retired. I could just tell you that right off the bat. Neither is Kreider.
Same kind of guy, shot-blocking Warrior, career cut short because he was a Warrior out there. Dan Girardi, number two for me. Here we go.
Yeah.
Number one.
Number one is, of course, the coach you just missed on, Jason Kidd. Back-to-back finals appearances, the most, outside of Dr. J, iconic for me net player of all time. Very rare a net gets to the top of the list, but I think it's tough to argue that Jason Kidd in our lifetimes was the best athlete to wear number five in this town.
The Nets still in the league.
Look, Jason Kidd is arguably the greatest point guard to ever live. I'm not going to take anything away from his career. You know, once a Knick, always a Knick. Back-to-back finals with the hapless Nets. So he had a great and wonderful career. But Dan Girardi, I mean, David Wright was how many times All-Star, multiple times in the top 10?
Dan Girardi was an All-Star?
Voting. All right, but what was
different,
Wright?
Different, though. It's harder to make the NHL All-Star.
Okay, stop. I don't know enough about Dan Girardi to call it completely and utterly embarrassing.
So the reason I included
this, but it feels
this.
Embarrassing.
We had this argument about when this was first announced. And you remember, Evan thought it was crazy, and he said, Boomer is a Met Ranger fan. Let's let him get
that was the Dan Girardi
stuff,
right?
That was this, and Boomer backed me up. Dan Girardi, a better number five in this town than David Wright. He said it was close, but he would go with Girardi.
I do remember that, and I forgot it was over Girardi.
Yeah, this was an argument we had. That's why I don't think it's out of line to do this. I think you have to be very in the thick of hockey to appreciate that. And look, I know that's not for everybody, but that's the sake of the list. And I think all three of those guys are deserving, to be honest with you. I think if you kid's number's retired, if the Rangers retired Girardi's number, I don't think anybody would go nuts. But it's a little different type of a franchise than the Mets. But either way, David Wright, congrats.
What do you mean it's a different kind of franchise than the Mets? What do you mean by that? You've won two Stanley Cups in the last, 100 years. What are you? You're not exactly the Detroit Red Wings or the Devils. You're not even the best hockey team in this
Mets
town.
Mets got a little looser with number retirements recently than the Rangers have.
Maybe a little bit, but not crazy. I don't
That's
think.
All. All right.
Okay.
Can I just say that not including Tsuyoshi Shinjo on this list is borderline criminal for you?
Dynamite right. dropping. All right, yeah, so we have we have news here.
Do we acknowledge that?
No. All right. Especially because we have breaking news from the Yankees. This is coming from Eric Bolin. Aaron Boone said Cam Schlittler was supposed to start tonight. If you're just tuning in, Ian Hamilton is starting tonight. They're doing a bullpen game. We tried to figure out why Cam Schlittler was not starting. So again, from Eric Bolin, Aaron Boone said Cam Schlittler was supposed to start tonight, but felt some, this is in quotes, upper arm soreness midweek. MRI was negative, and then Bolin goes on to write, hope is he'll start one of the games in Toronto. So again, Cam Schlittler, supposed to start tonight. This is according to Aaron Boone. He felt some upper arm soreness midweek. That was Cam. Got an MRI, negative. The hope, which is also the hope for Max Fried. So we have a lot of hope here for the Yankees coming out in their rotation. Hope is he'll start one of the games in Toronto. Your thoughts, Sean?
Will we have anything nice? Are we allowed to have anything nice? Cam Schlittler comes out of nowhere, throws 9 of the 10 fastest pitches the Yankees have seen all year. One start after he's mowing down in the minor leagues, and he has upper arm soreness midway through the All-Star break? Now, okay, it came back clean with the MRI.
Yeah, but what about imaging? Sometimes the MRIs come back clean. It doesn't mean you're out of the woods.
I trust this team with handling of injuries, man.
I mean, you have to trade for a pitcher at this point. I mean, I don't think there's any other way around it. When you look at the injuries,
and you can't even use him if you wanted to trade him. Because who would look at that and go, Yankees are dumping a guy that just throws high and then his MRI didn't come back clean?
Okay, so a little bit more detail here from Brian Hoke on Cam Schlittler being scratched tonight or not starting, according to Aaron Boone. He's dealing with discomfort near his right biceps.
That's not good.
So Sean and I both don't really have any biceps, but this is a better question for Tiki, but I wonder what that could mean, like what kind of injury we deal. Obviously bicep, but what's like the bigger picture here? Your thoughts?
This sucks, man! Come on!
Okay, so Hulk has the bullpen right. stuff here.
All right, breathe. You're a professional. This is not good. I know they're saying that it came back clean, but it's not good.
No.
It's not good that your
especially
young phenom
guy,
pitcher
yeah.
that you just called up
yep.
is dealing with bicep tightness, soreness. Now, look, they still hope he can pitch in Toronto. Great. I hope tonight I can eat or drink a Fribble and not have the calories. The Max Fried blister stuff combined with this is just not good. And it's not good for multiple reasons. You want everything to be fine, but it just shows you now, no matter what with Cam Schlittler, even if he is fine, the Yankees are going to begin walking, and deservedly, a tightrope on innings with him.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could all agree on that.
Without a doubt.
And I wouldn't crush them for that.
No.
Because when you have soreness like that, you don't want to see him get extremely banged up further. Mm-hmm. Which means to me, no matter what, Cam Schlittler may now go back to starting every 5 days and start versus Toronto. He's not going to pitch deep into games. He becomes a 4 or 5 inning pitcher. And I'm talking about this is in the best case scenario. The Yankees probably do need to add us now. They're going to have Luis Gil coming back.
But will they? I mean, that also means, but what is he going
to
be?
That also means continuing to run Will Warren's innings up. That also means counting on Marcus Stroman. And the Yankees, because of preseason problems and not addressing third base, and, you know, for different factors, this really isn't on Brian Cashman, the bullpen not being up to snuff the way it needed to be. The Yankees, for a team trying to chase down a World Series, have too many holes to fill at the deadline. And you were hoping that starting pitching would not have to truly be one of those holes. But I don't know, even me, who said, ah, don't worry about starting pitching, they'll be fine. Yeah, Ryan Yarbrough, who was a great start, you know, he'll come back at some point. I don't know how you look at the Yankee rotation, understand that at any given playoff start, Max Fried could pop up with a blister, that Luis Gil may not, you know, we're talking about the negatives. Carlos Rodon implosion could come at any point. Mm-hmm. How you don't look at the starting rotation and go, we got very fortunate in this first half of the year. What are we doing here?
And you know Aaron Boone is going to drop the line of, well, we're getting Luis Gil back. That's like a trade deadline acquisition.
But I think they need more.
Of course. And this is why you don't trade Marcus Stroman, by the way, in the offseason. That whole thing when he came in to spring training, he said, I'm a starting pitcher. And there were Yankee fans that were like, just trade Stroman. Where would you be right now if you didn't have Marcus Stroman? You could say what you want about Marcus Stroman, and maybe he's ineffective sometimes in the second half of seasons, but he stays healthy most of his career, and you now have a rotation that is running out of bodies. And when you say all the holes that the Yankees have to fill here, I go back to this. It is a joke that the Yankees didn't sign Alex Bregman. A joke. And you let him go to the Red Sox? Starting this season with no legitimate third baseman is a disgrace. So, yeah, now you could focus on, because the deadline's coming up, on a third baseman. But you have all these injuries now in your rotation, so you have two things you have to juggle, whereas if you just signed Bregman, I know he missed a little bit of time, but the time he's been healthy for the surging Red Sox, he's been great. And I don't understand that, and I never really got a great answer on why the Yankees, if it's about money, that's a total joke. If the only thing I could see and live with is if the King Aaron Judge went to Cashman and said, I don't like this guy. I don't like what the Astros did. I don't want him here. Then that's fine. But outside of that, how is Alex Bregman not a Yankee? Right? Doesn't he wear the number he wears because of Jeter? And he goes to the Red Sox?
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So he could stick it to you in October?
He's not here because of finances. That's why.
That's embarrassing.
But when you enter a season and assume you could just acquire whatever you want to acquire at the deadline, it's a bad assumption. The Yankees got burned with it with left field a couple of years ago. They desperately need a third baseman. And now on top of that, you only have so many assets to go around. Best case scenario is that Cam Schlittler and Max Fried are both making starts versus Toronto. That's the best case scenario. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you've watched enough Yankee baseball and followed their injury history to assume, yeah, that's right, everything's going to be rosy, not Paul Rosenberg, but rosy in Toronto, and these guys throw multiple innings. They are going to be cautious with Cam Schlittler the rest of the year. This is already the first warning sign. One start where we drooled, and I, like an idiot, untouchable. Yeah, he's untouchable because who's going to touch him?
Yeah.
This is disheartening, and I feel bad for Cam Schlittler, and I hope everything's fine. It makes sense now why the Yankees have to throw a bullpen game. I know we led with what the hell are the Yankees doing. But to be fair, we knew something was up. And it turns out the something that was up may be less Max Fried and more Cam Schlittler.
I think it's both. I think we speculated, is Fried going to the IL? And then we got to the Schlittler part of it. I think it's both. I think both guys, clearly something wrong here. I would be surprised if either makes a start in Toronto. I don't know where that leaves the Yankees as far as rotation options, more bullpen games. You want to hear from a Twitter doctor?
Yeah,
or a doctor on Twitter?
Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
As far as Schlittler. Bicep attached is at the same place the rotator cuff muscles attach to. Bicep tendon soreness can also affect rotator cuff tendons. That's from a Twitter doc.
So this is like way worse news than just Freed recovering from a blister, like we thought.
Definitely.
Yeah, again, MRI coming back clean might make you breathe a sigh of relief, but anytime you hear, oh, it's attached to the rotator cuff, there's more imaging that gets done besides an MRI. One start in the major leagues, cooking with gas.
Yeah.
And in the All-Star break. And, I mean, the Yankees just lost Clark Schmidt to a Tommy John injury that he had a forearm injury for multiple weeks. There's no way the Yankees, even if he makes a start for Toronto, like, yeah, go, kid. Go throw 90, 100 pitches every game. It's
no
going to be cautious.
And you wonder if Schmidt didn't have Tommy John surgery, if they would have been like, you know what, maybe this is okay, and maybe they're having some cold feet now because of the injury and not wanting to send guys out there that are hurt.
The good news is this doesn't involve the muscles that involve Tommy John, but look, anytime a rotator cuff is mentioned, not good.
Especially when a young guy throws heat. Do you want to hear what Aaron had to say about the bullpen game tonight?
I saw this. So it's Rico Garcia, who they brought in from the Mets.
Yep.
And JT Brubaker are expected to throw multiple innings tonight, which I guess would preserve the bullpen, knowing you might need it. But this is just clunky, man. This is a team we got rejuvenated for, galvanized for, and the pitching is a major question mark. There's no other way around it. Again, Max Fried. Now, knowing this Cam Schlittler news, I'm going to lean, I think that Max Fried is pitching versus Toronto, and they're giving him a couple days that he played catch, and this is really more about Schlittler that they're monitoring this. If I had to put my money on right now, I know you said both. I think Max Fried starts the last, well, maybe not because bullpen game. Max Fried starts the second game in Toronto, and we do not see Cam Schlittler.
I only just say that with Fried because, yeah, the blister has popped, but he's gone on the IL a bunch of times in his career with a blister. How do we know that it doesn't even get worse after popping? I don't know enough about blisters. I've golfed, but I'm not exactly a blister, you know, connoisseur. I'm just speculating that this whole thing, they were just coming out of the All-Star break. And I understand that these are really, well, not really, because Schlittler is more midweek.
Yeah, that's so what they said, midweek.
So it's clearly off of the start he had. We don't know the full story on just the overall feeling of when he got the soreness or how it built up. He just got it midweek, the whole deal. But Fried, we know this has been brewing for a little bit with the blister. And I just, you're coming out of the gate here, and there's already some immediate news. Now, the good thing, and this is why if Aaron Boone says this post-game, I would just rip my hair out if I'm a Yankee fan. While we're getting Luis Hill back, that's like a deadline.
No, they need more than Hill now.
You need more than that, Aaron. So enough with reading off the prompter and telling us everything's positive. Just you have to add more arms.
I go back to the trade deadline last year, and right at the 6 o'clock whistle, because we were here. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget the deadline last year.
Yeah.
We ended the show. I think the Yankees had a 6:30 game and pregame was at 6. I think that's what happened at the deadline last year. That sounds right.
Vaguely remember that part of it.
And I remember walking out of the building,
yep,
going to the subway and looking down at my phone as I waited for the subway, and you saw that the Dodgers at the whistle had completed a trade for Jack Flaherty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I say that to say the Dodgers at that time had pitching, but they added to it. They were all in on trying to win a World Series. Their pitching injuries mounted. They ended up pitching bullpen games anyway in the postseason, and Flaherty became such an integral, important part of that team.
Yep.
Why do I say that? They took their path to going to a World Series that serious. The Yankees can't use Luis Hill coming back and just say, well, that's as good as anything. They need the depth. They need to add. And dare I say, a starting pitcher now for this team might be more important than the best bullpen arm available in terms of getting through and getting depth, because you know, if you have Weaver and you have Williams, and I'm ranking how you're going to get to a World Series here, I think third base, and I can't believe I'm going to leapfrog the pen with starting pitching now, makes the most sense, because I was really, really excited and I had my chips down for Cam Schlittler, and you can't anymore, and you can't trust Max Fried with the blisters.
Yeah, I think that when it comes to bullpen guys, they could figure it out and snap out of it any second. And I know Weaver's had his struggles. I know Williams has had his struggles. But they could turn it around and be lights out elite relievers. We've seen that in their careers down the stretch. So I'm not saying that you just, you know, put all your eggs in the basket of hope. But we've seen those guys pitch well. I don't think bullpen is like number one priority on this team right now. Absolutely need a third base. They should have had a third baseman going into the season. And now rotation to me is absolute top priority. You have to get multiple arms. Heel's not enough, and you don't even know what you're going to get out of Luis Hill when he returns. So you can't sit there. The Yankees have to be so aggressive here at the deadline, and little moves, it's just not enough, because they are not as close as I think their record would indicate as far as winning a championship, and the American League is a lot better than we all thought it would be.
And to add to the trade deadline and, you know, who counts as trade deadline acquisitions, Aaron Boone has said now also pregame, it is possible Fernando Cruz could come back at some point in August. That's a precursor to saying if they don't get a bullpen arm, and we're going to get Cruzy back at some point as a deadline move. But the Yankees have major, major issues as Cam Schlittler has bicep soreness, MRI clean though. Hopeful they can he can pitch versus Toronto, but cross your fingers. And Max Fried, hopeful as well, he could pitch versus Toronto.
Evan and Tiki on the Fan. It's Sean and Tommy here. Another hour to play with until Yankee pregame as they get set to open up a three-game series with a bullpen game and Trent Grisham leading off versus Spencer Strider and the Atlanta Braves. The news again, Cam Schlittler, MRI, came back clean. He has some bicep shoulder issue. They hopeful for Toronto, but we'll see. Max Fried, hopeful for Toronto, but we'll see. But some major Yankee rotation worries right now. And of course, tomorrow, David Wright Day, as the Mets get set for fireworks night if you're heading to the game versus the Reds tonight. Vernon in Atlanta. Vernon, what's up?
Yo, what's going on, Sean?
What's up, Vernon?
Lugie, what up, Lou?
What's up?
Hey, listen, the Yankees just messed me up, man. They stole my thunder, man. My thunder was I was going to say Cashman going to make a move before the deadline. Man, shoot, man. Like you said, Sean, we bad luck. We got bad luck within our organization, man. But listen, can I speak on something?
Yeah.
And see, the reason I want to speak on it, because Tiki ain't here. Because, you know, Tiki is a diehard Giant player.
Yeah.
So he ain't going to say too much bad about players. But I got to say this, man. I'm down in SEC country. I've been down here since 98. I seen Dart play. Dart stopped Ole Miss from making the playoff the last 2 years.
No, the Florida.
Because the interceptions in. Huh?
Vernon, the Florida game was a bad implosion. Thanks for the call. It's why Jackson Dart wasn't a top five pick. It's why he wasn't a top five pick. And I don't want to go too deep into Jackson Dart. We got a lot of baseball news right now. But again, that's why you pick him late in the 20s and you bank on his pedigree. I have my questions about Jackson Dart, no doubt about it. But I think we all do. And that's why you want to see him sit for a year and learn the NFL game. You're betting more on traits than necessarily worried about the implosion.
And you're also banking on Brian Daboll developing Jackson Dart into a superstar quarterback.
Yeah, rather than Joe Judge doing that at Ole Miss. Steve in Edison, New Jersey. Steve, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
All right, problem with the Yankees. The problem with the Yankees is, man, I think it's time for regime change. I think Brian Cashman's seen his time, and until you get something changed in there, I've spoken with a couple guys who used to play. I spoke with Al Leiter before, asked him questions, you know, about that, and the whole concept of something's got to change, whether it's the culture of, hey, we're going to keep on going with this, analytics type of ball game. It's not working. if you haven't seen, it hasn't worked. And the last time the Yankees won a World Series in 09, they had some of those old caliber players that were still on those winning teams, on those teams. Yes, they brought in some guys. But who are we bringing in is the question. We're not doing anything to change. And it doesn't matter what you bring in right now, guys. It's not going to change. There's nothing's going to change with this team. It's going to be the same conversation again next year with the moves are terrible. Unless you start developing young players and bringing them up and taking a hit, that's not going to happen. And unfortunately, George Steinbrenner is not there to put the pressure on Brian Cashman.
Steve, I agree with most of what you said, and it's been a constant, you know, head-banging against the wall stuff with the Yankee regime. They did make a World Series last year. And yes, a lot of it was because Juan Soto was added to that offseason, a move that Brian Cashman made. They are high on Lombard. They're high on Spencer Jones. And for all the Anthony Volpe hate, and I've piled on myself, you know, they did develop Aaron Judge, and I like what I've seen from Jason Dominguez. And they've developed some young pitchers here, whether it was Clark Schmidt or Will Warren or Luis Gil winning the Rookie of the Year last year. I think we do overblow how many young players the Yankees develop. They have developed some. Now, not all of them have been hits, and there have been some major disappointments. Don't get me wrong. Gary Sanchez comes to mind, the head of that list. On and on and on. I'm sure I'm forgetting quite a few guys from the Baby Bombers. Glaber.
Yeah.
But the point is, they're not going to change the GM. So we could call WFAN, we could yell and scream about it. It is a waste of breath. The question is, what can they do from within these bounds to get them back to a World Series and win? And, you know, I can't say that in this American League, if you acquired Suarez and a decent starting pitcher, that they can't get out of the AL and make the World Series. How could I say that?
Yeah, it'll definitely put them in a better position than they are in right now. I think currently the way their roster is, when you factor in all the holes, their pitching rotation, their bullpen, their reliance on the King Aaron Judge, their lack of depth in the, you know, lineup, this is not a World Series team. I don't think this is a team that even gets there, let alone wins one. I think the way they are now, they add a few pieces like a Suarez, which I still think that that's not the route they should go. I think they shouldn't go splash route. I think they should get themselves some more gamers, grinders, ball players, if you will, to lengthen their lineup and not another guy that strikes out a lot, hits a lot of home runs. But it is a superstar or star, at least an all-star player that you're adding to this team. And if you get a pitcher as well, that'll put them in a much better position to get back there.
Yeah, and Suarez could be part of that protection that we always complain about with walking Aaron Judge, too, which is why that would work. Jim and
Nolan Arenado should they chase for, because he's a good defender.
Yeah, Jim? What about Nolan Arenado? What's up, man?
Hey, guys.
What's up, Jim?
Yeah, really enjoy the show. A couple things about the Mets and the Yankees. I really think Mauricio needs to play every day. He's their best glove at third. He's a switch hitter. He's got power. He can run. You got to let this kid play every day and let Vientos DH every day. What do you think?
I don't think it's a bad formula, Jim. Again, Mauricio was almost became that forgotten man last year because of the injury with Vientos' bat playing, but just the glove is the tiebreaker for me. Vientos has had too many of those moments at third base this year where the word butcher comes into play. But, Tommy, you're the more of the Met fan here with Mauricio.
Yeah, I think Mauricio has shown you the flashes of why he could be he a star player, and that is the power, the defense, the arm. I love Mauricio over third. If you want to consider trading a Brett Beatty, now you'll have to trade a little bit more to get a Sandy Alcantara, but Brett Beatty certainly could be a guy that's on the block and you can move to getting a starting pitcher, a Seth Lugo, and then, yeah, you could DH Vientos. Marte coming back obviously complicates things a little bit, but the Mets have a lot of guys here, and I think that's serves them well because they could either develop the young player, meaning like Acuna could break out, Vientos could break out again, Mauricio, Beatty, or you can use a few of them to package in a deal to get you a stud pitcher. I wouldn't hate either one of those options. I prefer the young player stay here and grow into the next David Wright, but you have so many of them, and then even a few that we haven't seen on the big league level yet, that you can offer a few of them up to a team and grab a top-of-the-line starting pitcher.
Some breaking baseball news that's loosely tied to Eugenio Suarez being potentially dealt. Ketel Marte is being placed on the restricted list by the Diamondbacks. For those who don't know, during the All-Star game, his house was robbed in Arizona. Yeah. So he's, I believe this is the reason why he's going to be taking some personal time to deal with that. It's been kind of a really tough mental year here for Ketel Marte. But I say that to say he's the Diamondbacks' best player. So if we're just talking about from a baseball point of view, if the Diamondbacks were thinking they're going to climb into this again in a week and a half and breaking those ties, it's going to be very tough to win baseball games without your best player, all-around player, and Ketel Marte, and who knows if that accelerates the Diamondbacks in ramping up a Suarez trade. Again, very loose connection there, but Marte placed on the restricted list. 888-808-1019. Chris in Manhattan. Chris, what's up, man?
Hey, Sean and Tommy. Sean, I'm sorry to hear about it. The pitching stuff is so disheartening. As a Mets fan, man,
sorry. It's brutal.
Yeah, it is. And we know that
and
on the Mets side.
Chris, and you know from the Mets side, right? You don't want to sound like an idiot over 162 games overreacting to certain news, but when you live and die with the team every game and you're thinking big picture, it just sucks because there's nothing you can do about it.
Sean, I get it, but you know, it brings up a point. You know, every once in a while you see these Mets fans, like, they'll put out an outlandish trade, but I've seen these people say, like, oh man, trade five prospects for Paul Skeens. No, thank you. Like, you're playing with fire with these kinds of pitchers. Like, I don't know why people don't realize that that is a bad investment.
Yeah, but it's one of those things, man. If you have one at the top of your rotation in a short series in the playoffs, makes a big difference. But I totally understand it, Chris. Very fine line.
I hear you. Hey, Sean, on the number five, Shesterkin, is he number five?
No, he's number 31.
Okay, why did I think that? Okay, and then lastly, on David Wright, I think what, you know, as a Mets fan, what makes him so so likable by the fan base was he signified that turnover of that, like, farm system coming up. Tommy, did he come up before Reyes, or did Reyes come up before Wright?
I forgot who. Memory is bad with these sort of things, and that's on me. I forget things like that, but I want to say it was right before, but don't 100% hold me to that. I don't write every single little thing down like that.
Either way, that core left side of the infield is synonymous with each other, with whoever came up first. you know, kind of irrelevant to that.
Yeah, you just think of them together as a, I even forgot about this. They did like a GQ like thing too, like a cover shoot or something. I don't know. They're
with Reyes and Wright, together?
Yeah, they're pumping out all kinds of like old school content. And Jose, of course, will be there tomorrow. And I'm sure Jay Bruce, I think, is going to be there. Terry Collins was saying, obviously, TC will be there.
And on SMY After Us, a special baseball night in New York produced by our buddy James Ward. I know they're doing a great job. It's Terry, it's Jose Reyes, it's David Wright, and it's our own Sal Licata.
How about that?
That is some panel.
That is some panel.
And SMY tomorrow, before all the pregame coverage at 12:30, I'm seeing as they put it up on the screen, The Right Way, the documentary that got rave reviews. I have not seen it. I had to, you know, pay the marriage tax and take a real breath from sports last night. But everybody who's talked about it said it was highly emotional. What did you think of it?
Yeah, no, it was great. It got so much hype, and even people that weren't even involved in it were saying, you got to check this out, you got to check it out. And David Wright, I even saw the video before I saw the documentary, was watching it, and he was getting emotional. Look, it's hard not to get emotional because the story of David Wright in many ways is emotional. The lifelong Met, the injuries sort of derailing what would have been, in my opinion, a Hall of Fame career, getting that opportunity to be in the World Series as sort of coming back from the injury. And there's always a little bit of that what could have been with David, but yeah, what was a heck of a career with the Mets.
Dan and Jefferson. Dan, what's up?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's going on, Dan?
Just a couple of points about the Mets. I'm pretty excited about the second half of the season starting. I feel pretty good about, Manaea, Senga, and Peterson as the three top starters. But one point I wanted to make is I thought they were going to recall Francisco Alvarez back from the minor leagues. And like, what are they waiting for? Well, because what's the point of keeping him down there?
So, Dan, I think the point is very clear to me. He's raking and hitting a ton of home runs, and we keep seeing these highlights pop up. Let's be honest. Nobody's watching games in Syracuse and whatnot. There were multiple issues with Alvarez. We know he was going to rake in the minor leagues. It's the defense.
Yeah, 100%.
And this is a rotation where you couldn't afford that shoddy defense behind the plate. The Mets, when you think about their flaws on the team since Alvarez has gone down, catching and defense has not really been one of them. So, with all due respect, maybe somebody sitting there on the MLB app watching all these games in Syracuse, I got to assume that once the Mets feel like, hey, man, he's figured out whatever the problem was defensively, they would consider that move. But I don't think falling in love with all the home runs he's hitting is what's going to sway them.
Yeah, Alvarez, to me, the biggest reason why he was sent down was the defense. I mean, that mental gaffe in Atlanta was just the tipping point. And I think with Torrens, and I brought this up earlier, with Taylor and Torrens, I could live with them in the lineup even if both don't hit, because Taylor and Torrens are so great defensively, and how many runs do they save? Alvarez was a net negative, sort of like an Anthony Volpe. He was hurting the team because he wasn't playing a good defense behind the dish, and he wasn't hitting at all. And I think you have a player here that needs to gain a lot more confidence, and I need to see a much bigger sample size, not just hitting the home runs, but also a guy that I could trust behind the plate. It's a pivotal position. I mean, Torrens has just been unbelievable throwing runners out. He is such a plus for this team, even if he's not hitting. So I would be very hesitant or cautious about bringing Alvarez back up because Torrens is so great defensively.
Mario in Long Beach. Mario, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? Good show as always, guys.
Thanks, Mario. What's going on, man?
Yeah, look, just a couple of things. First of all, I just wanted to go over the batting order, and I was thinking the same thing, but then I look into it, and you might think a little bit differently. If you look at Grisham batting first, Grisham's batting about the same average as Dominguez. He's got 16 homers. Dominguez has 8.
Hold on. Mario, I'm going to let you finish your call, but I have to rebuff this right now. You're right. Over the course of the season, what have you done for me lately? Not that Grisham's completely cooled off, but Dominguez's sample size over the last 6 weeks, you know, you have to take that more into account than the full season sample size.
Yes, yes, but I was looking at the season. But yeah, if you look at the season, it's really good. And now to add what you were saying about homegrown, you guys are missing a few things here. First of all, Austin Wells is homegrown. He was
third for the rookie of the year
last year. Yep. Ben Rice is homegrown, 14 homers this year.
Two good ones, Mario.
So when you look at that, they got a lot more players that maybe they're not great, but they certainly look like they got some potential. And I'll listen to your answer on that.
No, Mario, you're right. Again, I have been anti-Brian Cashman a bunch, but I will agree with you that we overreact to the idea that he can't develop players and they haven't developed prospects, mainly because, let's face it, Anthony Volpe has been, and he's like the poster child of it. But you're right. If you were growing a tree and you went underneath there and said, well, you know what, though? You like Wells as a catcher. You like Rice. Obviously, you have high things on Dominguez. To Tommy's point, though, as good as we love Dominguez, and it feels like he's finally starting to get cooking, it almost feels like the Yankees getting Dominguez's way of taking off and owning it, where they don't play that. It's more mishandling, I think, sometimes with some of these Yankee, you know, bats and young players. But yeah, the Yankees have done a much better job at grooming young guys and coming up than many of us detractors give them credit for. Now, we do have a very special guest because Tommy Lugauer had a very special question. Our own Susan Waldman from Atlanta joins us now. Susan, yeah. What's up?
Well, they're putting the tarp on the field. How about that?
Oh, shocker. A game in Atlanta with the tarp on the field, Susan.
Well, there's supposed to be one cloudburst around 7 o'clock. So what's the Broadway question?
All right, Susan, I've been wanting to ask you this forever. So I love going to Broadway shows, mm-hmm. and I know you do as well. And I have this argument with my wife all the time. So for me, my favorite Broadway show is Wicked. I have seen it several times.
Okay.
And I several times without my wife. This was previous, whatever, relationships before I met her. Not that that matters, but I've told her, hey, I want to go see Wicked with you. And she goes, I don't want to see it. And I go, why not? She goes, I don't like going to Broadway plays without the original cast. So no Idina Menzel, she's out.
No Kristen Chenoweth. Well, yeah, it's 20 years ago, sure.
I know, exactly. I can't get in a time machine here is what I tell her. And I'm like, it's still a great play. So my question for you is that, how do I convince her? And are you of the same mindset? Like, if it's not the original cast, because she says it's not going to be as good because the reason it was so great was because of the original. I mean, Idina Menzel is as good as it gets as far as Broadway.
Well, but here's I agree with her in a way, and for a lot of shows, I do agree. And I'll tell you why. I'll go back. For example, Chorus Line. The show is as strong as you can get. You can put anybody in it. However, when they made that show, they wrote those parts for those people. Those are their stories. Oh. That was Donna McKechnie's story. That was Priscilla Lopez's story. No one is going to touch that. You can't. Sammy Williams, the thing at the end when he's Paul, late Sammy Williams, that was his story. So all those stories came from those people in a workshop, so you can never touch that. There are shows I won't go see when they replace the lead. Your wife is right about a lot of that. As far as Kristen Chenoweth and Idina Menzel, I agree with her in one way, because I did see them both, and I've seen it a couple times because I've taken young girls with me to see it because it's a wonderful show.
Yes.
And they don't know the difference, but I know the difference. But that's because those...
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Parts were made for them. That's Kristen Chenoweth on the stage. That's who she is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so anybody else. But here's the other thing. I don't want the shows to go away because the stars aren't there.
Right.
I don't want South Pacific to disappear because Mary Martin hasn't been around for 100 years. It's those kinds of things. So I agree with her on a lot of them. Some shows, it doesn't make any difference. And by the way, the Andrew Lloyd Webber shows, who changed Broadway forever, one of his reasonings was that the star of the show is the music, not the girl. So you can put, but Patti made it her own, but she was the original. There's never been another Patti LuPone. There's been very good women doing Evita. There'll never be another Patti LuPone. Here's the other thing, Hamilton. You can put anybody in there. The show is that strong. There are two people for me that can't be replaced. One is Lin-Manuel Miranda, who is Alexander Hamilton, and David Diggs, who played Jefferson and Marquis de Lafayette. But that's different. If the show is strong enough, it's fine, and most people don't know the difference. And you shouldn't not go to a Broadway show because the originals aren't there. I mean, Ethel Merman's been gone a long time, so you'd miss a lot of gypsies. I mean, you'd miss a lot of Annie Get Your Guns. You can't keep doing it. I don't want people not to go see a revival of Chorus Line because Donna McKechnie can't do it anymore.
Yeah, and speaking of Andrew Lloyd Webber, Susan, my wife's favorite show is Cats, and I feel like it doesn't matter who plays Mr. Mustopheles.
Well,
like,
because you don't know who's playing Mr. Mustopheles.
Exactly.
No, but that's
and
a dancing. But it's not stories. It's not their stories. That's what he was talking about. The show that he was that if you look at Phantom of the Opera, played 150 years, except for the original, you had no idea who was in the show.
Absolutely.
And had no idea, as long as they sang beautifully, could act, and didn't fall down off the stage.
Now, Susan, one of Sean's ways of getting around this with my wife, which I crushed him for, was he goes, Why don't you just watch Wicked the movie? I said, are you serious?
Oh, no.
Of course. Thank you.
No,
the movie's
got
to be better than the show,
Come
right?
On.
They made it a movie.
What are you talking about?
Everybody raved about that movie when it
it's
came out.
It's a wonderful movie, but it's a movie.
Right.
A movie is on, no, you can do 100 takes. No, it's not.
Okay.
By the way, did you notice the little shout out to Kristen and Adina in that movie?
That's right.
And they come out and they start to sing, and I know everybody of a certain age went, oh, there they are.
and also, Susan, we're in the greatest city in the world. Broadway is just one
it's nothing like live theater. And
that's what I mean.
To me,
experience.
You can't, you know, you can also watch, you can watch game 7 of the Arizona New York Yankees game. It's not the same as being there.
That's a good point. All right, that's a good argument, Susan. All right, I know you have a big broadcast coming up. I know it's a big weekend in Atlanta. We got a lot of callers freaking out with this Cam Schlittler news. We're going to be all right here?
No, he's going to pitch Sunday. What's everybody freaking out
about?
Okay,
he's going to pitch Sunday. All right, because the tweets that are coming out with reporters say they hopefully could pitch versus Toronto.
Yeah, that's Sunday. I mean, what day is today?
Today's Friday, Susan.
Okay, Saturday, Sunday. No, he's pitching in Toronto.
Okay.
He's pitching in Toronto.
Right.
It'll be, wait a minute, Fried, Rodon and Schlittler, right?
Yes, that's what we hope for Toronto.
I think that's it. No,
all right,
no,
we should expect him versus Toronto then.
Yes. You know, we were talking about it. I was asking him about if he'd ever pitched on turf and stuff. And, you know, we were talking about the different hitters. No, he's fine. They're going to be very – look, they see the future in him.
Yeah, I do too.
They're going to be very, very careful. And Max Fried is better. But, you know, let's everybody calm down. He's going to be fine.
Well, you know, we can't calm down. We're Yankee fans, Susan.
Well, no, any fans. You should hear what's going on in Atlanta.
Boy. Oh, yeah, they hate it down there. Well, Susan, listen, have a great broadcast.
All right, but
have
just because the regular the real people aren't there, if you've seen the real people, that's wonderful. If you haven't, don't deprive yourself of live theater, which is the greatest entertainment in the world, because Kristen Chenoweth isn't doing it anymore.
I love that. Susan, thank you. Appreciate
it, Susan.
You're
welcome.
I told you, never deprive yourself of live theater. I've always been big
on that. And I'm glad that Susan said that. Number one, I can't wait to tell my wife that Susan Wolman agrees with her. Number one. And number two, that's what I was trying to tell you, that you can't sit on your couch and watch Wicked the movie and think that somehow is, you know, duplicating the experience of going to Broadway.
You put four Bud Light Limes down your mouth. Any movie's greater than the show. All right. Thank you, SMY. Stay tuned for Baseball Night New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac. Coming up next on SMY, big Baseball Night New York, David Wright weekend continues.
Now, speaking of David Wright, can I get to my David Wright moment of the day here?
Yeah, I'm setting you up now.
Oh, yeah, okay. I don't think you are. You want to say that you are? I don't think you were. You were looking at the phone calls, but if you want the moment there, you can.
I was waiting on Susan to come on. I was told she was going to be joining us. I'm doing a good job. I'm doing a better job than Tony Romo does, quarterback. All right, without further ado, we've done this in this half an hour block all week. Tommy's final moment in his countdown of his favorite David Wright moments.
Now the 0-1. Swinging a high fly ball, well hit to left field. It may go. Gordon back. There it goes. Home run! David Wright has hit his first World Series home run over the Great Wall of Flushing, beyond the Party City deck, in left center field, and the Mets have taken a 2-1 lead.
Gives you goosebumps every time you hear it, you see it. I could still remember that day, obviously, vividly in my mind. We're, you know, coming up on the 10-year anniversary of it. 2015 World Series Game 3, down 1-0, runner on. David Wright steps to the plate. He had a huge game, drove in, I think, four guys. The only game the Mets would win in that series, and for David, for that moment in the World Series, his first World Series, to hit a home run at Citi Field, the first game at Citi Field in that World Series, the first World Series game at Citi Field, it's goosebumps, it's the signature, in my opinion, David Wright moment, and a moment I will never forget.
Yeah, and we will relive all those moments with all the montage that will come with tomorrow at Citi Field. We will get Tommy's final determination on whether he's blowing off a great invite to the game when we come back and get more of your calls. David Wright memories, get on the horn, 888-808-1019. Another half an hour to play with until Yankee pregame, where Susan will be with you there as well. Yankees in Atlanta, and we'll recap. I think, you know, she just kind of calmed down the Twitter craze about Cam Schlittler as well. It's Evan and Tiki with Sean and Tommy here on The Fan.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.